Father in heaven, thank you again for this time this morning. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Help us to do your will. Help us to be positive in how we look to you, Lord. I'm thinking of Job. You know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, help us to realize we're here to learn. This is a temporary time of learning and testing, and we're not always comfortable. We don't always have the things we need. Help us, God, to learn from your word. Please help my words to be your words to our congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to mention, was that your gumball there? What is it? Oh, is it the tip of the microphone? Okay, there we go. Okay, at some point, we were testing this DVD. This is before we get really get started. This is Genesis Paradise Lost. It came out about 4 or 5 years ago, and I had the privilege of helping with this DVD for translations. And a new Christian video by some of the same team is coming out later this month called The Ark and the Darkness. It's actually going to be in theaters for two nights, March 20th and 21st. In a few months from now, it'll be on DVD. But so we're trying to figure out when would be a good time to show this, maybe here. It's called Genesis Paradise Lost. I think an excellent video. Of course, I helped with making it. So I'm completely objective. Jane, it is. Yeah, Ark and Darkness. Yeah. Jane? I don't know about Evansville, but this was in Evansville on the west side. It was only in one theater one night in 3D, actually. This next one won't be in 3D, but Robert, this is flashing lighter and darker. Do I need to adjust the angle of it, or is it the light from the window or from my shiny forehead maybe? So I don't know. It's just kind of – see. Okay, I won't worry about it. It should be okay. Okay. I'll let you know, yes. Yeah, I will. Yes. Definitely, yes. So, and actually related to that, I would request prayer. So, I'm the one who's going to be doing the translations again, and it's a big effort with lots of people in a number of countries. So, I just request prayers for coordination, and Satan always attacks. You know that. Whenever we're trying to do God's work. I've had some of my translators had one, their business burned down. I've had computers will go bad. They'll have relationship problems with their spouse. It's just unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable if you're familiar with spiritual warfare, but all the things can go wrong. Okay, so today, can you go forward one, please? So this is going to be, I should have called this part one, because I never actually in what I'm doing today get to what I want to talk to. But originally I told Bob I would like to do a three-part series if it would be helpful for the church. But then how then shall we live? And then next one, please. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible. Okay. Oh, treat this like a Sunday school class. Interrupt me anytime with a question or something. If I say something that does not make sense or that you're unclear on or that I misspoke or something like that, then please interrupt me and ask, okay? So there's 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, okay? 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, okay, in the New Testament. It you start out with what's called the Torah or the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. Can everybody see this okay? You can see it pretty well, right? I know it's kind of light, the different colors. But Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah. The entire Old Testament. Look at that. I wonder if that's going to show up on every screen. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. That's in the background. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So then they call this the Tanakh, Old Testament. And they actually call that the Bible, even though it doesn't have the New Testament. And then And then obviously we have the New Testament. There was a gap. I'll show that on the next slide here. And I'm really sorry this is here. That's probably going to be on every slide, and I really apologize. That's interesting part there. Okay, so you've got the five books of Moses, the Torah, then history books. Okay, you may have noticed sometimes we'll be in 1 or 2 Samuel, 1 or 2 Kings, and it's related to something at different times in Hebrew history, right, in Jewish history in the Old Testament. Okay, then you have the wisdom books, also called poetry. Okay. And Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. They're kind of grouped together because each is unique. Each one is different. Ecclesiastes, some people say, can be pretty negative because he's like, all these things don't satisfy. All these things, you know, it was written by Solomon. He had as much money as anyone could ever have. He could, or instruments or music or anything, any kind of foods. Lots of wives. Is that what you said? Yes, he had 900 of them or something like that. Can you imagine what birthdays were like? It was every day of the year. Oh, so you were born today too, huh? Yeah, come on up. What's your name again, son? Oh, okay, yeah, you're how old? Oh, nine. Okay, yeah, okay. Have I seen you before? Okay. Anyway, let's see. So then the prophecy books. Those are classified by, we call, this is kind of a librarian's classification of the major prophets and the minor prophets. They're not minor in that they're less important. They're minor in that they're shorter. Okay, they're usually 1 to 4 or 6 chapters long. So all these, but there's so many things in the minor prophets. But the major prophets, which includes Daniel, even though it's a lot shorter. And anyway, then you had a 400-year gap. Again, I'll show that on the next slide here. And then we have the New Testament, the Gospels. Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke also wrote Acts. Okay. Then you have the epistles. Okay. I'm not attached anywhere, am I? Romans, the Corinthians, going on down. Okay. These are all by Paul. Okay. And then Hebrews, who we actually don't know who wrote Hebrews. Many people speculate it was Paul, but it's unsigned. There's a couple of books in the Bible we don't know who wrote them. One is Hebrews. The other is Esther. Now, maybe I won't get into speculation here. We know she was literate because she could read. It says that in there. Presumably she could write. Mordecai may have written it. Esther may have written it. We actually don't know. Okay, going back to the New Testament, after Hebrews, then you have the other epistles, okay, and the, the old meaning of the word Catholic is like church. The church as a whole. Okay, that's the old meaning of the word Catholic. The Catholic Church claims it's the church, and we're out there protesting Protestant stuff like that. Okay, so anyway, and then the final book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation was not actually canonized until, 200 years later? Is that right, Tim? Do you know that offhand? It wasn't until like 300 AD that they canonized Revelation because it was too different. Oh, yeah, I know it was written then, but it was like very, you could say controversial, but it was finally accepted. Kind of like James, Martin Luther did not like the book of James. Well, it's in the Bible anyway. Okay, so there's things people like or don't like. The Holy Spirit, so what we as Christians claim is that the Holy Spirit has inspired people to write, and sometimes speaking, it may be verbal, but these books over time then were time-tested, particularly the Torah. Now, I don't get into this in my notes here, but I want to mention something interesting about the Torah, the first five books. Mathematically, it has some very unique things about it. I'll mention one that I have checked out myself. So the rabbis over the centuries have just studied these things. Okay, so Torah, as we would spell it, T-O-R-A-H, is actually four letters in Hebrew. So if we take off the H, what I want is just four letters, T-O-R-A. Okay, if you go in, if you're reading in Hebrew, and you go into the Hebrew, and you go in exactly 50 letters, exactly 50, you will find the equivalent of a T, Tav. This, I think that's Tav there. Anyway, a T. If you go 50 more letters, now there may be more T's, but another 50 letters exactly is an O. Another 50 letters is an R, and another is an A. Why is that there? Isn't that just strange? Excuse me. I shouldn't say strange. Forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me. Why did God put that there? You know, the skeptics like to say, oh, this was written by those shepherds sitting up in the hills at night making stuff up. No, it was definitely was not. The Bible is very unique. And it's a modern science, modern computers, modern mathematics is showing the Bible to be more and more true and more things embedded in it. Now, so in Genesis, there's 50 letters. You go to Exodus, the same thing is there. There's a T at letter 50, an O, an R, and an A. Why is that there? Why? I don't know. Okay, so now, right, the rabbis, this is discovered over the centuries. Why is it there? Okay, next thing in Leviticus, it's not there. It's not there. Now in Numbers and then in Deuteronomy, it is there, but it's backwards. I'm serious. It's there, but it's backwards. You count in 50 letters in either Numbers or Deuteronomy, you're going to find the A, an R, an O, and a T, if we transliterate to our alphabet. Now you got to wonder, okay, wait a minute. Torah, Torah, pointing this way. Torah, Torah, pointing that way. What's in Leviticus? And you know what's there? Is YHVH, Yahweh, as we would call it, Jehovah. And I think it's at 49 letters. Isn't that just stunning? It's been a long time since I counted this out. But I actually went into the Hebrew. I can barely read a little bit of Hebrew. I can read falafel, okay, when you're in Israel. It's important to get something to eat once in a while. So I can read certain words, but okay. And anyway, but it's Yahweh. The Torah points to God. Isn't that just stunning? I just find this stunning. Okay, I shouldn't have gotten off on a tangent, but you know that I will. So, okay, now, any questions about this organization? Now, there's some things that the... Oh, any questions? There's some things... Go ahead, Jim.
Hebrew letters. And that his claim was that, might have been out there, I don't know. He was saying that every verse and every paragraph was either seven or seven times.
I don't think it's not everything, but there is a heptadic structure. Yeah, sevens. There was a man, Panin, I don't remember his first name. He was a Russian. He had participated in a failed revolution about the 1870s, 1880s. And because it failed, he needed to get out of town. You know, people who you challenge the government, they get real mad about that? Who would have thought? Okay, so he escapes, gets to America, goes to Harvard, becomes a mathematician, and then the miracle happened. He became a Christian. And he started learning about this structure in the scriptures, particularly in the Torah. So, no, that is true. And Panin, I actually have one of his books on my webpage, because it's all copyright free now. It's all public domain. But there's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things that have sevens in them. There's certain words in the Bible that you'll find it a multiple of seven times. There's most words you can find a multiple of seven times in the Old Testament and a multiple in the New Testament. There's one, I only know of one, that it takes both the old and new together to make sevens, and that's hallelujah. And it's like, why? Why is that? It's just a stunning. It's just, why? No, that is a thing. And in the 1990s, in Israel at the university, what was it they discovered? It was the beginning of the Bible codes, if you've heard about that thing. And so the beginning of the Bible codes, and they refereed it like three times because it couldn't be there. No human could have, I don't remember what it was, but there's no human that could have put this in there prior to modern computers, and yet here it's been there for thousands of years. Then people wrote books. Now here's the problem when something gets discovered in the Bible is that there's other people who come along and they write books sometimes with good motives, sometimes no, they're looking for money, and then it cheapens everything when they aren't honest, or they exaggerate, or they're trying to make the bestseller. And so that tragically has happened. And we've only gone one slide in. I apologize. I need to get moving here. Okay, next slide, please. Okay. What I wanted to suggest, if you've never read the Bible and you say, "Oh, I can't give the time to do it. I got to work and stuff like that," I'm pleading with you to read at least two books. read one chapter a day. Just read it. Proverbs and John. So you got four Gospels. Three of them are in a chronological order, Matthew, Mark, Luke. John is in a thematic order. It's actually a unique Gospel. There's many stories between all four of them that are in three or four or two and things like that. But many people believe that John is the best place to start. Okay? And then the book of Proverbs gives so much wisdom. There's so much wisdom. And so much of it is one, two, or three verses. And it's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that before. Oh, is that what? It's just so many. There's so much wisdom in it. There's 31 chapters. If you spent one day, one month reading Proverbs, either in the morning or in the evening or something. Anyway, I'd strongly recommend that. Even if you can't the time, can't allow the time, but still do that. Okay, next slide, please. Thank you, Dave. Okay, we can look at world. I take the Bible literally. We don't understand it. I would not claim that anyone understands. Billy Graham has said that before. He believes every verse is true, but he can't explain everything. And other Bible teachers I know of who are honest, there's some things we don't know. We still don't know what it means. But we can take world history. Creation was about 4,000 B.C. I said 4,004. There was a bishop several hundred years ago who he tried to date going all the way back. And so he dated it to 4,004 B.C. Okay, so that's probably maybe not exactly right, but that's close. Then you've got the year of the flood. Okay, you got the year of the flood. You got Abraham and Job who were contemporaries, but they probably did not know each other. There's no evidence they knew each other, but it seems like they lived probably about the same time. Then if you go another thousand, that's about 2000 BC, you go another 1,000 years, that's the time of David and Solomon, and that is one half the way into human history from creation till now. You can also divide human history into thirds using the Bible. Okay, one third is from creation to Abraham and Job, first book of the Bible. Then you got one third, the rest of the Old Testament time, okay, into the Messiah, okay, and the disciples. And then one third, 2,000 years ago, from then until now, because most Christians, many Christians believe we are in the end times now. We may be the last generation or the generation after us. And if you look at then when the Bible was written, you had Job, about a 400-year gap. The rest of the Old Testament, about a 400-year gap, and then the entire New Testament. Now, why that structure there? I don't know, but you can date it. Looking at, you know how you have the genealogy, so-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, and you often have their ages and stuff. That's how we can figure things out. Secular histories can also be there, like in the 13th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, such and such. Well, people who are really into details can add those up and stuff. So you have seven. Remember in Scripture says a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. Isn't that interesting? There's so much continuity in the Scripture. So the last 1,000 years, we would contend, is then the millennium, okay, the reign of Christ. And I know this is just, oh, actually, next slide, please. Okay, 2,000, 2,000 years, 2,000, 1,000, okay, or dividing in half, 3,000. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, Steve.
Well, I'm a little stumped. If creation, there wasn't anything before it, how can it be dated with
4,004 B.C.? If there was nothing created before that time? Is that what you mean? Right. Okay, so we're dating from Christ. We're dating from when Jesus was born, right? And then we're going back. So this date, they didn't say, okay, go buy my Farside calendar for 4,002 B.C., right? Okay, they didn't do that, right? So they didn't. And actually, that reference is what I was just saying a minute ago in the 13th reign of so-and-so. When I lived in Japan, they date things by the emperor, within Japan. I remember one time I was being asked how old I was, and I said, Showa. And they all started laughing because Showa was the Japanese name for Emperor Hirohito. And so you can date your birthday either by the Western dating or by the emperor. And so when I said, I was trying to remember which year in the emperor's reign that I was born, obviously in America. But isn't that funny? I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, so, but that's in history. That has been a thing. So we could say in the third year of Obama's reign. I don't know. Something like that. Okay. Never mind. I don't want to get into politics here. So, okay. Okay. Does that make sense? Any others? Jane. Yes. Yeah, so it's Bishop Usher tried to make it exact. He actually had, I think it was a certain day in October of that year. And it's like, okay. Anyway, but so they tried to make it exact. Us, with our abilities, there's just so much we don't know. For example, Abraham, there's two different dates when he could have been born. We're not sure of back in Genesis, I think it's 11 or no, it must have been chapter 12. Yeah, exactly. Approximately. Yes. Now, but there's other things that correlate to this, which we'll get into a little bit later. All around the world, everybody remembers the flood happened. The flood is a fact of history. The millions of years never happened. I know that if you've heard evolution for years and you've grown up in public schools, oh, evolution is science. Oh, those people in the Bible, they made that up. No. Our planet is only thousands of years old. Please, if you have never heard that before, please bear with me till we get to there. But all around the world, when Josephus, who lived about one generation after Christ, was writing a defense of Jewish beliefs to the Romans, when he got to the flood, he didn't have to defend it. He says, everybody knows the flood happened. The Chaldeans have this historian. The Egyptians have this one. He had all these things. You can look it up. Anyway, and then all around the world. So the flood is the most validated. Now, they may have lost track of exactly what year, but you can go back in different cultures. The kings of England, a British man named Bill Cooper, I'm getting off on tangents again, he wrote a really good book, and he went back in the genealogies of the Normans and because they kept those kind of things of the kings and stuff. And you can go back almost to like the grandsons of Noah. It's really stunning, not just England, but the Danish kings. I don't think anyone's done it in China yet, but probably someone could. Someone could go back in Chinese history and figure. Well, you can't. Excuse me. In a way, you can. What year is it in the Chinese calendar? 4300, something like that. We go to Chinese restaurants. You remember what year it is? I don't remember what year it is. You remember when the Mayans in 2012 the world was going to come to an end? It was year 5200, something like that. Do you remember that? Nobody remembers it. Somebody remembers it. Okay, a few people remember. Okay, and so what were they dating back to? All the calendars in the world only date back between 4,500 to 6,000 years. The native Celtic, okay, whichever you call it, Irish calendar from before the Christian missionaries goes back 6,000 years. Okay, the native Indian calendar in India, I think it's around 5,000, 5,500. There's no calendars in the world that date back more than 6,000 years. Why? Because the Earth is only 6,000 years old. I'm going to start screaming here, okay? No, I won't. I'll try trying to raise my voice. Anyway, so many details have been lost with each generation. I'm going to jump to one thing. World War II. The Americans remember World War II very different than the French do. Very different than the Germans. Very different than the Japanese. Very different than the Chinese. So even in one or two generations, details get fuzzy or people remember things differently. Okay, so let me go on. We did that. Okay, now I want to jump to our current times, which is the end time. So go ahead, Dave, next slide. In 2 Peter, there's three or four verses. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, the time we're in. Have you ever seen late night TV these days? You ever see the talk shows? There shall come scoffers. I'm sorry. Am I making fun of these people who want to make fun of everyone? Walking after their own lusts. That's a very important detail, the sexual perversion of these crazy scoffers. They want what they want. They are, a man is the measure of all things. It's an old thing. Okay, next slide, please. Next verse, 2 Peter 3, 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Jesus is coming back. Oh, you Christians, you just make up all kinds of stuff. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So all things continue as being in creation. That's another name for Unitarianism. The idea that you can see the current processes on earth And then that tells us what has happened. That's not true. Not if there was a great flood. Not if there was an ice epoch or ice age. They don't know where that came from. They, you know, they talk about it in different ways. But, okay, next slide, please. For this they are willingly ignorant. Willingly are ignorant. Willingly ignorant in the Greek means dumb on purpose. People who hide from information, who won't listen. Okay, for this they are willingly or ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. There's a couple more verses in this, but this is just, anyway, it describes in our time, these people saying, where's Jesus? You said Jesus coming back? I don't see him. You guys are, those miracles, they never happen. Show me a miracle. Of course, in Christ's time, there were people doing that too, right? Okay, so now, next slide, please. Okay, so now, the scoffers, they're ignorant of the creation, they're ignorant of the flood, and they're ignorant of the coming judgment in the future, okay? And they don't want to believe we're going to be judged. They don't want to believe that. Our schools, one reason they've gone so far down is they're no longer teaching that God sees everything you do, right? 50, 60 years ago, we knew that. If you steal an eraser, if you tell a lie, you're going to have to answer for God, to God for that. It makes a big difference if you think you're being watched or not. Does anyone need more money? Okay, let's go rob a bank. Oh, wait, they have cameras. They have guards. We might get caught, right? Right? The threat of being caught makes a difference in human behavior. But the problem is God sees everything we do. We have to keep coming back to him and asking for forgiveness. But the unredeemed, people who are not following the Lord at all, are in willful ignorance. They don't want to see the evidence. They don't want to hear about it. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so creation versus evolution, and I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes this morning because this is. I want to make sure I have a foundation for why we should believe the Bible. Many Christians, and I used to do this, believe, well, maybe God used evolution. Okay, so evolution teaches that death caused man. You had pain, suffering, death, pain, suffering, death. Pain, suffering, death, and slowly getting improved, right? But wait a minute. In Genesis, it teaches man caused death. You can't have both, right? You can't. They cannot both be true. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To pay the penalty for sin. He died in our place. You see, it undermines the gospel to believe in evolution. I know you may not see that. It's a very subtle way. Remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden? It was very subtle. Evolution, the belief in evolution, is a very subtle thing. Okay, so now, next slide, please. In Revelation 21, there's 22 chapters in Revelation. So it's coming to the climax, coming to the end. And the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon, to shine. For the glory of the God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Okay. Remember in Genesis 1, again, I'm trying to hit a lot of things, and hopefully things we know. But if I say something that we don't know or you're not sure of, please interrupt me, okay? I want to remind you of that. Okay, so if you map the first three chapters of Genesis with the last two chapters of Revelation, okay, with the first three chapters, you see that we are in an interlude. This is a 6,000 or 7,000 year temporary time. This is not normal. What we are in now is not normal. Next slide, please. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Remember, so death started in Eden when we sinned, when our ancestors sinned. Death itself is going to end. This is a temporary time. This is not normal. Okay. I hope that makes sense. The way I'm trying to describe it here. What I'd like to do. Okay, go next slide, please. Is Okay, so I used one program to make this, and we're using a different program to show it. It should say here, the Salvation Prayer, how to become a Christian. Becoming a Christian, but you see, there's no reason you can't pray this multiple times. And I'm actually going to read the words, and if you agree with them, I'd like to ask you to amen. But this is a basic kind of Christian prayer. There's no magic words. It is... just a second. Yeah, I guess I can leave that cap off. It is the intent of your heart. Okay? God in heaven, please help me Because at this point, you're not a Christian yet. I don't say Father till we get down here, okay? God in heaven, please help me. And the heaven is important. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven? Okay, so God in heaven, please help me. Creator, I ask for your forgiveness and your help in this life. I accept that Jesus died for my sins. I accept, or you can state this several different ways. As I say, there's no magic words. I accept that Jesus was buried and that he rose again from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is that it? Where Paul says, here's the gospel. Jesus died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to scriptures. He rose again. That is the essence of the gospel. Okay, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. I ask for your help, God. Protect me, help me. I pray for wisdom, and in the coming days, I pray for protection from deceptions. These are things I pray all the time. I see so many deceptions in our world. We're just getting hit with it. I mean, I'm a conservative, but some of the news, either liberal or conservative, you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt. I'm sorry, but I try to listen to both sides. But there's so many deceptions, so many things that are trying to pull us out of balance. Okay, so pray. And the Bible tells us, encourages us, if any man lack wisdom, we all do. Pray. So please pray for wisdom. Pray for protection from deceptions. Okay, so continuing here. Please guide me in your truths and in your ways, my Father in heaven. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me to do right unto others. Remember the two commandments. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's just stop real quick and pray for Rhonda real quick here. Father in heaven, please help Rhonda. And don't know why she's not feeling well, but please help her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, forgive me of sin. Help me to do right unto others. The second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Help me to be loving like you, okay? Very important. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray, amen. Again, these are not magic words. So if you completely agree with this prayer, please do amen. And, so I'm going to go on to the next slide. Okay. Wait a minute. Where did I put that? I'm missing a slide here. I hid it for myself. It's here somewhere. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. In the pre-flood time, they lived like 900 years. Not 900 months, 900 years. That's what it says. Okay? Why? Okay. Well, it appears that the pre-flood world was very different from the post-flood world. Okay? And in modern science, they've discovered that high-pressure oxygen helps the body to heal better, helps the body to get the oxygen in. It's also has an important effect on plants. So it could be that the foods before the flood were more nutritious. Some of this is speculation. I don't know. There have been different experiments done. You've probably not heard of it. But anyway, far more oxygen in the early atmosphere than anyone imagined. You remember in Jurassic Park, they had the mosquito in the amber. Do you remember that and stuff like that? Well, there are also air bubbles in the amber. And they've drilled into these and extracted the gases that are in there. And there was about 50% more oxygen. This is true around the world. Why? Well, I mean, how could you have like 50%? So currently, I think it's 21%, about that. Does anyone know Mr. Science is not here? I think it's 21%. Well, it's like 30%. What is it? It might be 23. But I think it's like 35% in these air bubbles that have been found. Okay, whatever it is. And so it's like 50% more. So what if you have 50% more oxygen with every breath plus higher air pressure? What would that do? Okay, so let's go to the next slide here. Hyperbaric chambers are chambers that divers use and different medical things actually around the world. Last probably 20 years, they've realized this helps with healing. This is very serious things for helping. This is just one. This is for people who are diving to come up too quickly and get the bends and stuff. And so people can live in there. Some of these, I've been in a couple of really big ones, like that the Navy used and stuff like that. And anyway, this is just an article. Next slide, please. And so there are different styles. Here's one used in medical, and stroke patients are sent for 3 weeks of treatments. And there's actually a number of different ones. I don't want to spend too much time on this unless you have questions, but paid for by the insurance company, because if it helps the person heal better, let's go. And you can buy these. They're a couple grand. I can't afford one. I wish I could. Anyway, I'd love to sleep in one. Oh, I have been in one. I was in one in Alabama for about an hour, but it wasn't a full medical one. It was more like kind of a tent that expands and then holds the pressure in. But it wasn't at this kind of level. A friend and I were in it for about an hour or so. Anyway, so you do feel more energy. You do feel more rejuvenated. Next slide, please. There's a number of professional teams that have, because these guys, if someone's been paying $1 million a game, all of a sudden you want him on the field. You want him or her completely repaired. Anyway, a whole bunch of professional sports teams, and they're saying the healing time is twice as fast. So they have somewhere you lay down, somewhere you sit up, somewhere you can walk around in them, like that first one I showed you. So anyway, it's very interesting. Oh, here's my chart. Next slide, please. Okay, so in the pre-flood period, they lived over 10 times as long as we do. Now, I want to mention something to you. Okay, this is something I love to challenge the evolutionists with. This is so much fun. Okay, so, in case you didn't know, okay, so before I moved to Evansville about 20 years ago, I lived in Berkeley, California, the conservative town of Berkeley. And so it's one of my little jokes. And then I tell people it seemed conservative to me, and then people start going like this. You know, anyway, but I'd point this out that it says in the Bible before the flood, Adam lived to what, 930 years, and all these people, that's what it claims. That's what it says. Okay, now, and then the one who lived the longest is Methuselah, 969 years. Man. Anyway, okay, so then I say, is there any scientific evidence to support that the Bible is true on this? And usually people, you know, look at me like I'm crazy, which they do anyway, so I'm used to it. And what I say is, okay, now, for us humans today, when you become, say, 20 years old, usually people are mature by then, or at least they're at their total height, maybe 17, maybe, anyway, around that time. When you're 40 years old, you're not taller than when you were 20 years old. If you live to be 100, you still would not be taller than when you were 20 years old. In fact, you might actually be a little bit shorter, right? If theoretically you could live to 500, 700, or 900 years old, you still would not be taller than you were at 20 years old, right? But did you know that some creatures keep growing their entire lifetimes? The longer they live, the bigger they grow. So if humans live longer, 12 times longer than we do today, is it possible that other creatures did? And us being scientific, let's look at this. Are there any creatures in the fossil record that grew to be, say, 60 feet tall or long, 80 feet, 100, 120, 150 feet long? The biggest Brachiosaurus was 147 feet long. That creature lived for a very long time. Alligators, sharks, we look in the fossil record, there are some creatures that grew to be, say, 80 feet long. Rhonda, how are you? You're getting the vertigo again? Okay. Okay. Okay, so sharks, turtles, at Yale University, there's a turtle that is like, the shell is like this big. I mean, so the dinosaurs are not evidence the Bible's not true. The dinosaurs, properly interpreted, are further evidence that the Bible is literally true. It really is. Okay, I know you've probably never heard that before. We need to have confidence in the Word of God. Where Satan is hitting us is the backside of the compass. So if you think about history, when Jesus came, he came as the answer for our true history. We had sinned, we had fallen, we were going down, and he came as the answer. The Antichrist, what will he be the answer to? An anti-history, a history which never happened, but he or she, will be the answer to that history. So first, Satan's got to corrupt our history, get us to believe millions of years, Bible's not true. Oh, they made up that stuff. Maybe some of it's true, but it's all legend. Anyway, this is this gives a chart. There's many different charts, and this has some very good notes in it. I can point you to where that's at online if you're interested in looking it up. But let's look at something. Here's Adam going on down. Here's Enoch. Here's Methuselah. Okay, now we get to Noah and then his son Shem. Shem was about 100 years old. In other words, a young whippersnapper, right? Okay. No, my jokes, this is a tough crowd. No respect. Okay, anyway, about 100 years old, and he lived another 500 years after the flood, okay? He lived long enough to have known Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was, looks like, probably about 80 years old when Shem died. Isn't that interesting? We don't know who Melchizedek was. We don't know who it was. There's like two or three different speculations, because the Bible doesn't tell us. He's in like about five verses in Genesis, and then he's in Psalms, and he's on further. He's in Hebrews. But maybe, we don't know. And some people had their names changed. Okay, I'm getting into too many details. I need to move forward. But this is very interesting that there could have been a direct continuity to Abraham or even Isaac from the last person from before the flood to have lived. We don't know how Genesis was transmitted to us. There's two main theories. One is that it was on tablets, Toledoth, that it was on tablets. Okay. The other is that it was remembered. There are people who could have amazing memorization skills. Okay. There's a Lutheran pastor who goes around, he's memorized the Gospel of Mark, and he'll do it one evening. He'll just recite it, and people are reading, and is he going to make a mistake? Anyway, they listen to it. But people can memorize things. We today are spoiled. We have everything written and now on video and stuff. So, okay, I need to move forward. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Censored science. Okay, you know, why do I never hear this in science class? What? Because we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And someone, let's say a robber. How often can a robber find a cop? Like never? Because he's not looking for the cops, right? He's looking to stay away from them. How often does a sinner find God if he's not looking for him? God's not going to force himself on you. Okay. Anyway, so there have been all kinds of teachers. I hear about them. I hear from them sometimes who have been fired or reprimanded at school because, well, wait a minute, but here's these science journals are saying this isn't true, that's not true, stuff like that. Have you ever heard of embryology? What is that called? I'm getting into too many details here. It was something by Haeckel, a guy named Haeckel. He used these fetuses and then showed, oh, look, this had gill slits in it and stuff like that. That had to be for like 60 years. No, that's not true. That's not what this is. Because they kept putting it back in the textbooks. It's probably still in the textbooks today. But yet it was never true. It wasn't true when it was first put in the 1870s stuff. I have a book on my webpage from 1919, I think it was. And it was to finally put it to rest, the whole embryology thing. Finally, it was all these scientists who said, this is not true. It was never true. But people who want to hide from God keep putting those kind of things back in this. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, what is the difference between creation and evolution? Evolution is survival of the meanest, survival of the most deceitful. God wants, or what the globalists want. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Here's God's plan: obey His laws and live in peace. America is kind of a miracle in the modern world. It's really stunning, but yet we've been a Christian nation that have mostly... Remember when you didn't have to pay for gas till after you're done pumping the gas? That wasn't that long ago, right? There's still some places where you can do that. Not very common anymore, because we were a Christian nation. 60 years ago, 50 years ago, you didn't have to lock your doors, right? Now we're falling from that. People are believing, oh, you know, if I can get away with it. Okay, so obey His laws. Use the preaching of His word to win souls. Satan's plan, reduce the human population. What do they want? What do the globalists want? What are the people developing the enhanced viruses? Gain of function, that's what they call it. They're trying to, well, anyway, they're following Satan's plan. And disobey God's laws, live in terror. You look at the 20th century dictators. Oh my goodness, horrible. Things that they set up, and then using the teaching of evolution to accomplish the goals. Now, I would add to this teaching of evolution and UFOs. UFOs are becoming more and more, right? I believe they're fallen angels. They're coming in from other dimensions. They're not from a distant star galaxy. That's how I would interpret as a Bible-believing Christian. Next slide, please, David. I need to start moving faster. Is everybody okay? I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff in there. Okay. Let's see. The Puzzle of Ancient Man. Donald Chittick, he passed away a few years ago. I have some pictures in his book. Some of my pictures of a particular site are in his book, The Puzzle of Ancient Man. We have, the way we teach Western civilization is, you know, that we're going up and going up in technology and civilization. No, that is not what has happened. It's going up and going down, going up and going down. So much has been lost. Our most powerful cranes for lifting things, either a vehicle or a rock or some kind of edifice or something like that, can lift about 3,000 tons. And this is a few years old, so maybe 6,000, no. But some of these blocks, this is up in the Andes Mountain, Andes in South America, some of these weigh 20,000 tons. That's 20,000 times 2,000 pounds. Okay, I mean, what, 400,000 pounds, something like that? Isn't that stunning? How did they move these? There's some blocks under the temple in Jerusalem. I don't remember how big they were, but they're unbelievably huge. The pyramids, you ever seen any of those specials that put in National Geographic or something, and then they'll build a little pyramid like 6 feet high, and then they'll say, okay, we proved that we could have built it too. Okay, and then they go down, right? They evidently had to, we have technologies with electrons that nobody in history, as far as we know, have had. Is it possible there's ways to manipulate gravity? I don't know. I'm speculating. But the pictures I'm in, there's a place in southern Florida called Coral Castle. This man, I think he was from Hungary or Romania, came to America, moved down there. This is before air conditioning. Nobody's around because it's so hot in the summer. He would work only at night. No one ever saw him work. And out of this very heavy coral, where each block weighs like a car, he built this castle. It's like 10 feet high, and it's probably bigger than a baseball diamond. It's a pretty good-sized thing. No one ever saw him work. He claimed to have rediscovered the technology of the ancient Egyptians, and he died, and no one. So it's a mystery. It's like, why is this there? What? How could one? And you look at his tools that he left behind. He has this little metal tripod. And it's like, no, there's no way. There is no way he could have lifted more than a few hundred pounds with the tools that you see, and nobody's found or claimed that they found his real tools, you know, this giant caterpillar tractor. Anyway, okay, I'm getting off too much off topic. So the humans have always been intelligent, but often unwise, okay? Humans have always been intelligent, but often unwise, okay? And, okay, so let me move on here. Next one. Okay, so now I'm going to hit these quickly. Oh, Babylon, which was at its zenith about 600 BC, it has a repeating motif on the walls of this dragon-type creature. See the serpentine tongue? See the claws on the back feet and the tail the way it is? Do we know of any animals that look like that? I don't know of any, but in Babylon, okay, the repeating motif is a bull, a lion, and this thing. So we don't know. It's mute testimony. You know, it seems that each one is the king of its domain, kind of a deal, okay? And Babylon was the capital of the world, at least in the Western world. But this creature, whatever it is, with whatever this on here, doesn't look like fur. It might be scales, right? And then these claws back here. Anyway, okay, next slide, please. So here's an American soldier. Here he is in Iraq. And Babylon is in modern day Iraq, and it's like 60 miles south of Baghdad, something like that. And then here is that creature on the walls, okay? And what he says, there's actually a caption beneath this, yes, I'm sweating like crazy, is what it says, is something like that, because he's so hot with all his equipment on. But here's this, next slide, please. Berlin, the age of exploration, a lot of things were taken from countries, taken to England, taken to Germany, taken to America. That has happened. This is the Ishtar Gate. The entire thing was moved from Babylon to Berlin, okay? And it has this motif on it. That looks like you've got a lion. Here's the serpentine creature, but they keep repeating on this wall. And it's like, okay, so it appears this was, to them, a real creature, right? Okay, next slide, please. Let's see, are we there? Oh, Chinese calendar. So you've got a monkey, that's a real creature, right? A snake is a real creature, an ox, a boar, and you have a dragon. You have the 12 years. Why would you have 11 real animals and one fictitious one. You don't. You have 12 real animals. Dragon is the new word for dinosaur. Dragons and dinosaurs are the same thing. They didn't grow as big after the flood because they didn't live as long. I'm sorry, I know that this may sound crazy if you've never heard that before. But people saw dragons. Next slide, please. Marco Polo, about 700 years ago, 700, 800, he went all the way over to China, and he said that the emperor was raising dragons to pull his chariot in parades and stuff like that. That's what he claimed. We don't have pictures, okay? Film 11. No, it's not there. Okay. Next slide, please. Around the world, I mentioned before, everybody remembers the flood. Everybody, until about 100, 150 years ago, everybody knew the flood had happened. I've got one of the books on my webpage, creationism.org, is Sir James George Frazier. He was a skeptic 100 years ago, 1915 to 1920. He wrote this big book, 400 more pages, and he's trying to make fun of the Bible. And one of the biggest single chapter is the one on flood legends. Now, what he's trying to do is pull the Bible down. See, the Bible has legends just like all these other people. I'd like to thank him because that preserves that information. Now, they don't have as complete a story as what the Bible says, nor as accurate. But everyone, not everyone, all around the world. So this is the one in Hawaii, okay? Long after the death of Kuni'uhona, the first man, okay, so that would be Adam, the world became a wicked, terrible place to live. That's what it says, right? The earth was filled with violence before the flood, right? Okay, there was one good man left. His name was Nu'u, something like that. He made a great canoe with a house on it and filled it with animals. The waters came all over the earth and killed all the people. Only Nu'u and his family were safe. So there's often they have that the ark, or not ark, but the canoe or the boat or the raft, depending on what they had in their environments, and they either landed on a mountain near there or an island or something like that. So the stories are, you could say, only partially remembered. Excuse me. But essential elements are there. Okay, next slide, please. Any questions? I'm sorry. Any questions? I know I'm hitting a lot of things. What I'm trying to do is establish the accuracy of the Bible. We as believers need to know that God's word is true. We don't understand it all, but God's word is true. If the earth is millions of years old, why is the Sahara Desert still growing? Okay, the earth is only thousands of years old. Okay, this is the Sahara Desert, the world's biggest desert, is about 4,000 years old based on current things here. And Dave, what time does Bob usually finish? Because I'm probably running way too long. About 10 after, so it, 10, okay, I'll try and go quicker here. Okay, so there's all kinds of evidence that the earth is very young. You've never heard that. Okay, next slide. Leap second. Did you know we have to add a leap second about once every year and a half? You can look it up. Okay, you've heard that, Kathy? And so the earth is slowing down. This is not a perpetual motion machine. It's only thousands of years old. Can you imagine how many seconds would it take if the earth was a million years old? And how fast is it going? 10 million years old? 100 million years old? Now someone's telling a joke. This is not a perpetual motion machine. Okay? Next slide. This is a petrified and coalified tree. And so under the Bible's story, we have that there was a year-long flood, the flood of Noah, the global flood. And so all these layers were laid down very quickly. Now, imagine if evolution was true, then you've got, 100,000 years here, another 100,000. Is this going to stay there and just sit there until it slowly gets buried 2 million years later? I mean, I'm sorry, termites, even if they're blind, would eventually find it. Okay, right? Okay, so there's so much evidence that the earth is young that the layers were put down quickly. Another thing that I pointed out to evolutionists, they usually get really mad, is where's the topsoil? You're telling me you had a million years and there were no roots? There's no roots in here? That there were no roots in any of these because it was all laid down so quickly. It was laid down during the year of the flood. Okay, next one, please. In 1977, Japanese fishing boat was fishing near New Zealand, 900 feet deep in the water. That's a pretty deep, okay, cold and deep. I don't know what they were fishing for. And they pulled this thing up in their nets, and it was smelly, it was rotting, and they took some tissue samples. They had a marine biologist on board. They drew pictures of it, and then they threw it back. because they were afraid it would spoil their fish. When they got back to Japan and started talking about it, the professors are saying, why didn't you throw the fish overboard and keep this? No one has ever seen anything like this. What is it? Okay, it's a plesiosaur. Well, I think it's a type of plesiosaur. But anyway, okay, so people have said it's a basking shark. Even some creationists say that. Well, that could be. Next slide, please. So I actually have a copy of this. There's other things related to this. This was a postage stamp in Japan. This is what they think this thing looked like. They only had part of it. But I actually have one of these. So commemorative stamp. Okay, next slide, please. This is from a Roman tile, you know, mosaic. Isn't that two plesiosaurs in a decorative thing? You've seen how people will do decorative things. Think about the British seals. You know, this is my crest from my family. We have two wild boars and some celery. Okay, whatever it is. I'm sorry. Okay, but I mean, you know, people will make a decorative thing, or the lion will be like this or something, right? Okay, so anyway, this is a decorative thing, but how did they know a creature could look like that unless they had seen it? Right? Next slide, please. Racism. Okay, evolution has led to a lot of evil. Remember when Hitler said, we are the master race? If you believe in evolution, and we're slowly getting better, then in the name of science, there have been many people, some of them are my ancestors, I'm sorry to say, our ancestors, and who have used this and said maybe some people are more evolved than others. Japan did the same thing. They believed they were more evolved than the other Asians. They believe that. The Italians also believe that. You got your different dictatorships and stuff like that in the 20th century. So there was these beliefs that white people are more evolved, and then people acted on those beliefs. Next slide, please. There's a lot more that could be said on this. Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species. Here's the total title, the full title. By means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races. Guess where that goes? In the struggle for life, okay? And there's other things I'd like to talk about, but I better move on and try to get done here. Next slide, please. The Smithsonian, most people don't know this, they have thousands of remains of humans, many of them from Australia, from Tasmania. There are zero natives from Tasmania who survived in the last 100 years. They were killed, Australian Aborigines, and then killed and then taken away as missing links and stuff, their bones and stuff, and mounted in museums all over the world. Next slide, please. Okay, Vladimir Lenin, a famous communist, right? One person, I'm just going to hit this real quickly. One person with a gun can control 100 people without one. It'd be nice if we could live in a world where we could go back in time and have sword fights instead of having guns. I'm sorry, but there are some people who are looking to take advantage of others. And not all of us are, you know, we are the world, we are the children. Okay, so next slide, please. This is, the gun control is not about guns, but about control of people. As Lenin said, one person with a gun can control 100 without, right? Proudly unarmed. I just think it's funny. I've seen that in Berkeley and stuff, and to me it's like, oh my goodness, here, I'm disarmed and I probably have lots of money. Did you need any extra money? You want to take it from me? And next slide, please. You might be a liberal if you don't trust honest Americans with weapons, but you do trust the federal government with them. Okay. Next slide, please. Taking the idea that there is no God to answer to, Pol Pot, this is one of the worst of the communist dictatorship, and it wasn't that many years. Khmer Rouge, under the leadership of Pol Pot, executed more than a third of Cambodians. We're talking over 1 million people. This is just horrible. Most of the world didn't even know it was happening until it was mostly done. There have been many other horrible, horrible massacres. But if someone believes they don't have to answer to God, or that God is not there, evolution, what beliefs lead to actions. What we believe. Now, for us, if we believe the Bible is true and that God sees everything we do, it changes our actions. It changes our behavior. If, conversely, you believe God doesn't see what's going on, or he's far away, he's doing something else, then it changes human behavior. Next slide, please. The Communist Manifesto, which has had a tremendous impact in the world, and this is taking place in America today. All the Western world is slowly falling. They're against private property. Gee, we should give unto those. Anyway, it's this thing where I can't remember the quote. receive those, get the, from what it is. Communism under humans, under man, doesn't work. Now, under God, it could work. So some people have said Jesus is a socialist. No, he wasn't. He definitely was not. Under God, we can do things. But when it's human-human, no, there's just too much corruption that people want to take or get and stuff. Anyway, you can see the things that they want, that they need to basically destroy a culture. Next slide, please. Oh, okay, so now, is it possible for a person to go insane? Okay, don't point at me. Please don't point at me. It'll hurt my feelings. Okay, yes. Is it possible for a group, as a group, to go insane? Yes. Okay. Think of some of the religious cults that instead of following God, they follow some space alien or human leader or a demonic power or something like that. So it's possible for them. You've heard of the suicide cults and stuff like that. Okay, is it possible for an entire country to go insane? Yeah. There's Nazi Germany. This is Nazi Germany. Okay. I think this is Nuremberg, 36, 37, something like that. Okay, now if it's possible for an individual to go insane, if it's possible for a group to go insane, if it's possible for a nation to go insane, is it possible that the entire human race could be partially insane? Yes, and that's what this book tells us. We are all sinners. We all need God's help. And to not even ask for it is crazy. Okay, we have, as a culture, we have going insane. There's some states in America right now where people will do squatters. They'll take over a house, and the government there, the police, aren't they're not being prosecuted? I just consider just insanity. Some of the drugs that are loosed on our streets. Okay, anyway, so next slide, please. This is similar. Entire nation, this is a famous picture of Nazi Germany. Huge thing. I don't remember how many 100,000 people are there and stuff like that. Okay, now we're almost done. I want to show you some slides from England from 2 years ago. And I'm glad you're all sitting down. Okay, go to the next slide, please. This is in Birmingham, England. Okay, so this is 2022, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. Next slide. These are women in chains. Okay. Next slide. Again, women in chains. Birmingham 2022. Next slide. This is a giant bull that they made. Why would people want to revert to paganism? This is a growing insanity in our modern world. Okay, this is a giant bull. You can see people in the stands back here. Okay, next slide. These are people like bowing and stuff like that before this giant idol. Isn't it just unbelievable? Okay, next slide. Okay, a woman rides the beast. Isn't that just, I'm sorry I'm emphasizing it, it's just so insane to me. Why would humans want to fall to this? Okay, next slide. Look at how many people are there, all this going on. This is a big ceremony, it's getting dark. BBC. I just find it amazing. Next slide, I think that's the end of, no, okay, there's one more there. Look at them bowing. Okay, and next slide. Okay, then I think this is the last one, but you can see them all, that some of them have these crystal-type things that they're raising up, and then the person is up above there and stuff. Okay, next one, next slide, I think that's the Pope. Okay, back in the 80s, Pope John Paul II, very respected Christian leader, but starting in 86, he gathered together all these people from all these different religions around the world. Here he is doing the sign of the cross, and I think it's a woman here who's doing some kind of a ceremony, you know, thing back to the Pope or something, as if there's an equivalency or something. And then you see people, I think this says peace in lots of different languages. You see the Pope, you see the Dalai Lama. This is probably Orthodox Church, anyway, different ones. 160 religions. I mean, maybe you've never seen this before. Next slide. There's a few slides like this. Here's some more of the leaders and stuff. Next slide. Europe Religions and Peace, Parliament of the World's Religions. In America, I don't think this was ever really broadcast. It was never really. But these things are happening out there. And to me, it's kind of frightening. It's just, what do the demonic powers do when people want to bow before? Okay, anyway, next slide. I think we're almost done here. Oh, this is the last one, yeah. So the Muslims came too, but they put it in English, there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his messenger. Okay, so they were part of it, but they also then wanted to indicate that theirs is the best religion. Now, this is almost right at the very end here. Okay, next slide. Now, have you ever been to a bullfight? I went to the bullfights in Mexico City. They have them in Spain. They have them in Argentina and stuff like that. And you'll have, actually, before the main matador comes out, you have others to tire the bull out. But then they kill the bull slowly. The important point is the bull has never been there before. The bull doesn't know. It's a powerful animal. What is this, a half a ton? I mean, this is a powerful animal. But he's never been there before. He's never been in the ring. He doesn't know the game plan. Everyone in the stands all around knows what's going to happen. They're going to spend its energy. He's going to keep going. Next slide, please. He's going to keep spending his energy trying to get at it, the cape. Okay, now there's a reason I'm emphasizing this, okay? And this is a very popular sport in some countries, okay? And you can see they stab it with things, and it does die. Okay, so now, next slide, please. We're going to go through a few of them. In the bullfights, the matador has the advantage. His experience, his speed, skill, and speed. Next slide. But the bull has never been there before. The bull doesn't know what everyone watching knows. Okay, this is in a town somewhere. This is their ring. Okay, next slide. The bull, yeah, exactly. Who said that? That's exactly right. That's where I'm getting to. Yeah. So, okay, the bull chases. He gets exhausted. The big red cape is a deception, luring him. Okay, the matador skillfully wears down his prey. Next slide. Right, exactly. Okay, you guys are too smart for me. The matador, he wears down his prey. Next slide. And the bull's great strength is spent chasing illusions. Okay, next slide. The watchers. Okay, watchers is a name for the unclean spirits, that there are beings that watch us, and that they sometimes may even be attached to a person watching everything. I'm not trying to get spooky on you, but the thing is there's more dimensions than what we see. And there's both good and evil angels probably near us most of the time or all the time. Okay, for thousands of years, they've seen us come and go, but you and I have never been here before. Next slide, please. Did you get the next slide? You did. Oh, okay, excuse me. Okay, so this is a dollar bill. He's got his dollar bill. And this is a different stadium here. Next slide. So here we are, gambling. What happens in Vegas is found out by God. I mean, what happens is, how does that go? Okay, and then Ole. And then here's from a movie. Here's Mr. Important on his phone. He's got his TV screens. Okay, this thousands of years. Okay, next slide. And this is a woman here in fashion. Everybody loves how beautiful she is. Yeah, so, and next slide. Okay, CIA, Langley. Our best technology is so puny compared to what is how we are being recorded. Okay, next slide. And here's Berlin. Here's a fancy hotel somewhere. Okay, next slide. And here's another city with stuff. I don't remember. It's in France, isn't it? That one there. Okay, anyway, next slide. Okay, what is this life all about? Next slide. What is success? Well, it's winning at Monopoly, clearly. And, next slide. And either love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and, next slide, love your neighbor as yourself, or, it's kind of corny, isn't it? Okay, did we go to the next slide? Okay, seize the day, look out for number one, get it while you can. Get on the cover of Inc. magazine, and the next week they'll forget you. Okay, anyway, next slide. Survival of the fittest. Let them eat cake. Look out for number one. Oh, there's no second place. Next slide. Let them eat cake. That was what Marie Antoinette said at one point, wasn't it? Like, let the people who are poor, too bad for them, right? Eat. Pardon me? France. Oh, let them eat cereal. That's right. He did say that, didn't he? Let them eat cereal. Okay, for tomorrow we may eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. Next slide. Okay, so the Bible, I'm at the end now. The Bible is our guidebook. We are on a planet. One of C.S. Lewis's books was called Out of the Silent Planet. The silent planet is Earth. We are the ones who are out of sync. We are the ones who are in sin. We are not the most advanced. We're the ones who have lost track of reality. And the reality is we are primarily spiritual beings. This is a temporary time of learning and testing. And we need to remember that. Sometimes in business, there's people who are so cutthroat and it's like, or they want to cheat or deceive and stuff. And it's like, well, if that's what you want to do, but realize you're a failure, realize you lose everything because you haven't put God first and your neighbor second. You're putting money first. Next slide. So, and again, please read Proverbs, John. Next slide, and we're almost done here. And then I contend that our whole human history, this 7,000 odd years, this is an interlude, and we will go into reality at the end of this 7,000 years. Next slide. And I think we are, oh, we're not quite done yet. We're almost done. Okay, so, and how history can be divided. Okay, I have sometimes suggested to Bob that we need to let people know there's other good messages out there. You could be driving in your car and get some really high quality audio messages or a Bible study and things like that, or Sunday school. Next slide. I'm just going to hit a few of them. Back in the 70s and 80s, Bill Gothard. This is free online. Now, he fell into sin, okay? But his seminars are still very good on forgiveness, submission, authority, our design, suffering, freedom, success. It's still a very good seminar. It's free. It's free to download. BasicSeminar.com. Next slide. BSF, there's some churches in every city that have studies that's like once a week, and people will go actually to a different church, not their own, and then they'll study certain things. Okay, next slide. Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, he's got a whole bunch of, probably hundreds of recorded messages online. How can a man be born again? How long till the end? Right on the outside, the days of Lot, false preaching. Okay, next slide. The Truth Project from Focus on the Family. This is, I consider it kind of slow, but some people just love this series. People like different things. Some people just love their series. There's a lot of logic, some science in it. The title of my talk is How Then Shall We Live? Francis Schaeffer wrote a book back, I think, in the 70s, How Should We Then Live? Okay, so similar. But anyway, it's a very interesting series. Next slide. We're almost done. John MacArthur is a respected Bible teacher, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff. Much of it is free online, 13 lessons. So some of this is kind of basic stuff, but it kind of to get yourself a good foundation. Next slide. The Jesus film, if you've never seen it, I will give you a copy if you'll promise to watch at least part of it. I probably have some in the back of my car. I usually have some. It's in 2,000 languages. Next slide. It's also online for free. You can download it. It's on DVDs. Next slide. Okay, Learn the Bible in 24 Hours. It's a catchy title. I really like this series. It's 12 one-hour talks, Learn the Bible in 24 Hours. Here's the first 12. Okay, next slide. 13 through 24. Okay, and next slide. So it's this is kind of a sample of what it looks like, and then Chuck Missler himself. And next slide. I think he never went to seminary, by the way. He was in the Navy. He was in the corporate world. But over the years, he just learned the Bible, just learning the Bible. And this is such an excellent series from a layperson's perspective. Next slide, please. Oh, okay. So here's just one more thing. This is from Learn the Bible 24 Hours. Messianic profile in the Psalms. Here's the things here. He'll be rejected. Bam. Impaled on a cross. Bam. Thirsty. I mean, all these different things. Yeah, this is just part of his teaching. I'm sorry. So this would be an example of some of the teaching in it. So it really goes into some detail on main Bible doctrines, main themes in the scripture, stuff like that. Yes. Okay, next slide. Okay, Love Worth Finding. I never got down to Nashville to meet Adrian Rogers. I wish I did. He passed away a few years ago. He's Baptist, I think. And he's got so many good messages, very methodical, very well done. Next slide. Navigators, this is another series that some people would like here, okay? And it's out there, and a lot of free stuff. Next slide. We're almost done. Oh, we are done. Okay, thank you so much. Who would like to close us in prayer? Your dad does? Okay, where's that guy at? He's hiding back there. See, I didn't see him. I thought maybe the rapture happened. Where did Where did Andy go? Your dad? Where's your dad at?
I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I counted in my head. I studied history in high school.
You what now? You counted in your head what?
I studied history in high school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Okay, we're not seeing Andy. He's still hiding out. Tim, would you close us in prayer? Oh, Andy, I just saw his face, but he's running away again. Either Andy or Tim or somebody else, would you close us in prayer, please? You were volunteered. Would you close us, please?